Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
I'm preaching a message entitled, Why is Thy Countenance Fallen? Why is thy countenance fallen? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Let's read from verse 1. Genesis chapter 4. Reading from verse 1. The book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, and the very first verse. Are you there? Glory be to Jesus. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the reading of the word of God. Why is thy countenance fallen? So last week I began to explain that the falling of countenance here talks about a specific moment in time, hallelujah, where your attitude towards a particular person changes. In the verses that we just read now, because of the events that took place there, you can see that Cain was someone who loved the Lord. He was a gardener or a farmer. He was producing vegetables and fruits. And the Bible says that he took some of his vegetables and came and presented them before the Lord. It was an offering that he was bringing to his God. Now, you don't bring offerings to people you don't love. You don't bring offerings to people you don't honor. Do you understand? And in the Bible, offering is also a form of worship. The Bible tells us about the wise men, the three wise men. And the Bible says that they came and said they are looking for Jesus so that they may worship him. When they came and met the young baby Jesus, they gave him offerings. It's a form of worship. So you see that Cain's heart was very right towards God. But God rejected his offering and God favored Abel's offering. Now that thing caused Cain's attitude towards God to change. His countenance fell. Are you here? When I'm preaching, I want to hear loud amens. Yeah. So many, many people go through similar experiences that Cain went through. In that many people come to church with the right heart. Many people come to church with the right mind. Many people come to church to worship God. Many people come to church, you know, to show their appreciation and love towards God. But every now and then, certain events cause their countenance to fall. And sometimes it's an event in church, but it affects their relationship with God. And the countenance falls. So God asked Cain, he said, Mr. Cain, why has your attitude changed towards me? Am I talking to somebody? So last week I gave you the dangers of a fallen countenance. Do you remember? For the sake of those who are not here, I'm just going to read them quickly and then we're going to get into today's message. I told you that a fallen countenance opens the door to the manifestation of sins. Hallelujah. So it's dangerous for your attitude to change against God or towards God. When Cain's attitude changed, he suddenly fell into sin. Do you understand? Number two, a fallen countenance triggers the mischief of the heart. The Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. So that wickedness is sitting in your heart. It's waiting for an opportunity to come out. And the fallen countenance or the change in attitude towards God opens the door for the mischief that is in your heart to come out. There was no death in the earth until Cain's attitude changed. Suddenly he was able to kill his brother. Number three, I told you that a fallen countenance ends important and priceless relationships. Cain lost his most valued relationship, his relationship with God. He was actually chased away out of the presence of God. You can lose everything. Don't lose that one. Number four, a fallen countenance causes you to reject sound advice. When people's attitude change, or when they get offended or hurt, they stop listening. They stop listening. They stop listening. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And sometimes, the best advice is coming to your ear. But because you are drunk with the pain of whatever happened, you miss the good sound advice that is coming to you. Amen. Number five, a fallen countenance triggers bad manners or a bad attitude. People who are hurt or offended or whose attitude changes suddenly develop a very stinking attitude. Hi, sister, how are you? Kishap. Hey man. That kishap, you can feel that this conversation must end. You know that the attitude has changed. And the last one I gave you last week is a fallen countenance causes a person to be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. A fugitive and a vagabond. Many people who get hurt in the house of God somehow end up being vagabonds. The word of God uses the word vagabond. It sounds like I'm swearing, but it's in the Bible. When Cain left the presence of God, he was moving from place to... Vagabond means you are a wanderer on the earth, moving aimlessly on the earth. No purpose, no vision. There's no set goal that you are going towards. You become a vagabond. And I was telling them last week that churches are not growing these days. We are just exchanging church members. One gets head here, goes to that church. They get their head there, they come to our church. We are just doing an exchange. Hey! All right, I said more, so please get last week's message. Amen. Today I want to teach on what is it that causes people to be offended or to have a fallen countenance. Hallelujah. Do you want to know? Yeah. So we are busy studying Cain's life, okay? All my scriptures are coming from this brother Cain. Number one, let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 from verse 3. Are we there? The Bible says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Hallelujah. One of the things that caused people's countenance to fall is the fact that they are in the flesh. Someone say, in the flesh. By that I mean they are not in the spirit, they are in the flesh. Carnality. Do you understand? In the flesh. Now let me explain what I mean. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 quickly. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Are you there? The Bible says, by faith, someone say, by faith.
By faith.
Say it again.
By faith.
Say it again.
By faith.
So you realize the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So the Bible tells us that when Abel came to offer his sacrifice to God, he did it by faith. And what that means is that he was in the spirit. He was under the influence of the Holy Ghost. When he came, when he decided to take, because the Bible says that Abel had sheep. And the Bible says he took one of the firstlings. In other words, out of his sheep, he took the firstborn of his sheep. And he took a lamb, the firstborn lamb, and came and sacrificed it to God. Now you can see that this is spiritual, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to die for us. So you can see that when Abel decided to come and give to God, he was under the influence of the Holy Ghost. But Cain was under the influence of the flesh. I don't know, maybe he saw Abel going to offer. Then he said, let me also. And then he came and gave God some vegetables. And God said, I don't want vegetables, brother. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? So being in the flesh brings a lot of offenses. Being in the flesh causes people's countenance to fall, because God has his standards. And when I walk with God, I've realized that God will not drop his standards for anyone. I don't care how nice you are, but his standards are always the same.
Amen.
Give and it shall be given unto you.
Amen.
It's a standard. If you don't give, nothing will be given unto you. You can cry, you can pray, you can fast, you can, anything you can do, there's a standard.
Amen.
I listen to me.
Amen.
But what I want you to realize here, when I talk about being in the flesh, one of the first things that comes to mind is sin. Cain did not sin. He wasn't a sinner. Him being in the flesh meant that He wanted to do things his own way and not God's way. And many people come to the house of God wanting God to do things their way and not God's way. And when God doesn't choose their way, it causes their attitude to change. Many believers are not walking in the spirit, even in the church, even in the church. They have their own way. They want, even someone may be sitting here, he might be wondering, why is the praise and worship standing in a half moon? Where must they stand? Must they stand in the sun? Come on now. Tell anyone, say, come on. People always want to find something. As a pastor, one of my biggest problems are people from other churches. Pastor, in our church where I come from, why did you leave? Why? Go back. Allow us to do the way we are doing here. We are trying to follow the Spirit. Hallelujah. People like to drive from behind. There's a driver driving and they're directing the driver. No, drive like this. Come on now. When you come to the house of God, humble yourself by the side of the Lord and He will lift you up. When you are walking and you are trusting in God, you are believing in God, I don't know for what. Sometimes God takes 2 years. Sometimes it takes 3 years. Sometimes it takes 5 years. Allow God to be God. Allow God to be God. The fact that He took 1 year with your friend and He's taking 5 years with you shouldn't cause your attitude to change. Why did you come to church? Am I talking to somebody? So that was Cain's problem. He wanted God to submit and surrender to His ways instead of him knowing and finding God's ways and doing what God wants. And God even told him and said, Mr. Cain, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But Cain was so drunk with his own ways, he became angry. The Bible says he was wroth. Wrath is another level of anger. Because he wants his own way. He wants his own way. One woman went to the pastor and said, Pastor, if God doesn't give me a husband this year. So God now has to make a plan. Are there any husbands here that we can organize for this lady? Hey! Just allow God to be God. Allow Him. Imagine when God said to Abraham, Mr. Abraham, sir, I want you to kill your son. Imagine how offended Abraham should have been. But God, you just gave me this child. 99 years without a child. I just got my child in my old age. Now you want to take him away from me again. But Abraham was yielded to God. He trusted in God's ways. And even if it didn't make sense to him, he knew that God is greater than him. He knew that he cannot fathom the thoughts of God. Paul had a revelation and Paul said Abraham trusted God so much that he knew that even if God made him kill his child, God could raise the child back to life. I was telling someone yesterday that was real faith, because Abraham didn't have Bible. He didn't have any evidence to see that God can resurrect people. But he trusted him. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
So I want to encourage somebody here. Don't be in the flesh. Be in the spirit. Surrender to God's ways. God's ways is Bible. 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 Simple. If you just read it, you will see everything that he desires there. Just do what he wants. Then you will see his blessing in your life. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some of us want to get married so much that we are taking shortcuts. Estivovo. Pastor, I want you to see someone. No, come down, come down. Let's do it God's way. I was preaching very well up until now. Hallelujah. God will never let you down. Never. Never. Even when it looks like it's over, it's not over. It's not over. In fact, I think I like it when people give up on us. I think I like it. Because when God shows up, they will eat humble pie. We're just going to be patient. We're just going to keep trusting him. We're just going to keep following his ways. It doesn't matter what people think of us. We just follow. And one day, our God will show up. He will show up. Then that scripture will become real, where David said, he prepared the table before me. You'll be sitting there with your fork and knife, and they'll be watching you and say, this one, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I cannot believe. Your God will do it. And they'll be smiling. You know, that white people smile. You know that one? They'll be smiling, but in their heart, they'll be hurt that your God did it for you. And I know that I know he will do it for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, when you become offended by the fact that God is not accepting your way, it is exposing the fact that you are actually not here for God. You are like that person, they call him Jimmy. God, give me, my name is Jimmy. I just want, if you give me, I'm your child. If you don't give me, I am leaving. It's a one-way relationship. You just take from God. Just take. Just take. Just take. For as long, God is not lotto. So many people who come to the house of God, a lot of them are not really here for God. They're just here for what they can get. We want to invite you to church. Pastor, no, forget about the pastor. We're inviting you to meet God. Amen. You're not saying amen. Some of you are watching you carefully. When you come here, come for God. Don't come here with all sorts of imaginations. Just humble yourself. Allow God to be God. Allow him. What can you do with your own strength anyway? Just allow him to be God. There are some people that God sends to prophets. Their pastor is a prophet. Powerful. But your God has sent you to a pastor. Powerful. Don't come here to try to change your pastor to be a prophet. I'll start lying to you. I see 5 mice under your bed. Under your bed. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not ashamed to be not a prophet. God called me to be a pastor, and I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes I wish I was more anointed. Sometimes I wish when I talk, I had that anointed voice. But my voice is a squeaky voice. You know, when I hear other pastors talking, I don't feel like I'm a pastor. But I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God. So come for God. Don't come for how people dress, whether they, come for God. Then your countenance won't fall. If Cain wanted God, when God said, no, Mr. Cain, I don't want your vegetables, he was going to say, Lord, what can I do to please you? And then he was going to go back and get what God wants, if he really wanted God. But the fact that it was exposed that his heart wasn't for God. Am I talking to somebody? Can I borrow your phone? I left my watch. I just want to keep track of time. Hallelujah. I want to show you a nice scripture. Go to Job chapter 13, verse 15. A very common scripture. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Job. Chapter 13, verse 15. Are you winning? Are you there? The Bible says, I still hear some Bibles turning. Job, it's in the Old Testament. It's close to Psalms. When you get to the book of Psalms, you are very close. Are we there now? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Now what Job is saying here, because Job was going through the most. There's no human being I know who has gone through what Job has gone through. You know, losing one child, you feel like dying. But to lose 10, one day, Job is a strong man. If I was in his shoes, I don't know if I would have been like him. He was a businessman. All his business norms are gone. Hallelujah. All his business, the chair here also. All his businesses gone. In one day, not in a month, not in a year. In one day. And his wonderful marriage was on the rocks. Because he lost his business, he lost his children. So his wife said, just curse that God. It's a useless God. Job said, you are talking like a fool. I love you, but today you are talking like a fool. Hey. With everything that Job was going through, he said, even if it's God himself that is killing me, I have nowhere else to go. Yet will I trust in him. Yet will I trust in him. That's a person who you can see the heart is for God. The heart was not about the businesses. The heart was not about the children. The heart was for his God. I mean, he had the most, you know, understandable reason to have a changed attitude towards God. The Bible says Job was a good man. He eschewed evil. When he saw something that looked like evil, he ran. Job said he had a contract with his neck. Are you listening to me? He said he had a contract with his neck that if you see a woman, you don't turn with the woman. You just keep walking straight. Isn't the Bible what I'm telling you? Isn't that a good man? So he was one guy who was justified to be angry with God. But rather he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And when you read the rest of that verse, In other versions, it says that I will argue my case before God. In other words, you are saying, I will talk to God about what's going on in my life. I'll talk to him. Other people, they stop talking to God. Other people start looking for other gods. Hey, mam sebelet. Diabuwa. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. That's why you see a very good Christian kneeling down. But Job knew, I had no other God but you, Father. And even when things don't make sense, the only person I will go to ask is you. He didn't get offended. And by the time God was done with him, he doubled everything he had. Doubled. He couldn't double the children. How do you double a child? So he just gave him another 10 also. And Job was a happy man. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't get offended with God. Don't. Keep loving him. Keep trusting him. Keep following him. Keep walking with him. Yeah. Am I preaching to somebody today? Yeah. And I'll give you the last one for today. So the first one, we're talking about why people get offended or why people's countenance fall. I told you, it's being in the flesh. All right? The second one is because they listen to the wrong voices. They listen to the wrong voices. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 31 from verse 1. Are we there? The Bible says, and he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob had taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's had he gotten all his glory. Hallelujah. Now, if you remember last week, Jacob says that, I've noticed that Laban's countenance is not towards me as it was before. In other words, his countenance had fallen. So Laban was Jacob's father-in-law. And Jacob realized that my father-in-law, our relationship has changed. Something has happened. His attitude is not as it was before. Do you remember? Now, do you know why this guy's countenance changed towards Jacob? Let's read chapter 29. Chapter 30, verse 27. Are we there? The Bible says, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, Laban is talking to Jacob, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord had blessed me for thy sake. All right, so here's the scenario. Jacob left his home and he went to Laban's house. When he got to the area where Laban was living, he saw Laban's daughter, fell in love. I think his name was Rachel, if I'm not mistaken. Fell in love with her, and Jacob is a wild man. Instead of talking to her, sister, you look beautiful, he just went and kissed her. he kissed her and then went and spoke to the father and said, I want to marry this one. But he didn't have nothing. He left home without anything. So they came to an agreement with the father-in-law and said, okay, work for me for 7 years. And then after 7 years, you would have paid to have my daughter. So after 7 years, Laban gave him the wrong person, the wrong wife. When he came in the morning, he said, but you gave me the wrong daughter. He said, if you want the right one, another 7 years. So this guy worked for 14 years. After 14 years, when Jacob now had two wives, he had children, he decided that now I want to leave and go back home. Then Laban said, Mr. Jacob, you can't go. I have noticed that in the 14 years that you have worked for me, I have become blessed. And I have realized that I am blessed because of you. So the father-in-law begged him and said, please don't go. Then Jacob said, I need to go because I also want to now start building for my family. I also want to start, you know, doing things for my own family. So they struck a deal. Now in chapter 31 verse 1, the Bible tells us that Laban's sons said that Jacob has become rich because of our father. Which was wrong. Because it was rather the other way around. The father had become rich because of Jacob's presence. But Laban was hearing the voices of his sons. That, Papa, this guy, he's becoming rich because of you. And that thing caused the heart of Laban to change towards Jacob. And this happens so many times. When you hang around the wrong people, when you listen to the wrong people, it causes your heart to change. Make sure, I'm talking about even in church, make sure that you hang around the right people. People who love God. When you come to some people in church and you hear gossip, run away. Run away. Because even in church, there's gossip. Even in church, there's liars. In church. Yeah. So decide that, okay, I want to find the right people in church so that my focus will be in God. Not on other people, not gossiping. Did you see the hair? Did you see this? Nonsense. Listening to wrong voices can cause your attitude to change towards God. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. I always make sure that I hang around the right people. You don't have to chase me away. I will chase myself away when I notice that you are not the right group for me. Even at work, I don't hang around the wrong people. The wrong people. I like the people that I see that they are going up. Then I watch them. Why are they being blessed? I will notice when they come to work, straight to their desk, they are working. But our other brothers and sisters, when they come to work, now they are starting to make breakfast at work. I know you won't say amen. Let me preach this side. Utanaga 8. At 8 o'clock, you are starting to make breakfast. And you sit down, you are eating. And then you come out and say, hi, we want an increase. Hi. Your mouth like an increase. There are people who just hang around with complainers, murmurers, people who are never happy with anything. The wrong voices, the wrong influences can cause your heart to turn. Surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with people who love God. Surround yourself with people who have a vision for God. Don't surround yourself with idle Christians. Christians who don't do anything. Agatha calls them chairpersons. They just come and sit at the chair and they disappear. You don't like to say amen these days in this church. Hallelujah. Be careful to who you are listening to. They can corrupt you. This heart is easily swayed. Easily. So you have to protect it. Protect it. Are you listening to me? If I'm preaching, can I hear a louder amen? Hallelujah. So people who listen to other people, they are also not here for God. They are here for people. Amen. Someone has done this to me. I'm angry. Hainagi kwatil. Just because of somebody else. One time somebody has stopped coming to church for a while. And we were so worried. So Mom Ruthie went and spoke to the person and said, "We haven't seen you for a while." And I thought, you know, I said to Mom Ruthie, "I'm sure I offended the person. I'm sure while I was preaching, I said something that hurt the person. I'm sure." Then when Mom Ruthie went to really find out what happened, apparently some people in church were talking about the other person. And I said, you are leaving church, the house of God, because someone said, someone, you've left your relationship with God. You stopped serving God with love, with care, with joy, with passion, with excitement, because someone. I've been a church member a long time. I know why I come to church. I love the Lord. And people have been talking about me. Till today, they are talking about me. I don't care. You are not my judge. God is my judge. So I'm working for Him. I'm working for Him. So whether you don't like me, Pastor talks to... After the funeral yesterday, somebody came and said to me, "Mfundisi, I'm exwile, exwile, exwile. Mara monga, monga kulumis isulu. Monga kulumis isulu. But I'm sorry, I'm not called for you. If you don't like me, I'm not for you. I'm for those who like me." Hallelujah. Oh man, if you can see my back, my spiritual back, you'll see the scars. My back looks like Jesus. Because people can, when I left one church to start this church, one of my church old church members said, "U pastu chonjimal, yike hambil." I stole money. And the person said, "I stole 60,000. Even the number, where does it come from? I don't even know. My church, my own church member, someone whom I love, someone whom I pray for, someone whom I visit to make sure everything is well. I love that person's children. I make sure everything was okay. The moment she had a chance, I knew it. Luchonchi. How much? 60,000. 60,000. So don't really mind people. Know why you are here. You are here for Jesus. That's all that matters. Stop listening to fools talking, saying foolish things. Concentrate on Jesus. And you must be the type of Christian that when someone comes and say something negative, they must feel that, hey, this one, I don't talk next to this one. Here I'm not hearing amen, this line. Hallelujah. You are not here for people, okay? You are here for Jesus. You are here to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. You are here to have a deeper walk with Jesus. You are here so that you can be transformed every day to be like Jesus. That is our goal. That is why we come here. That is why we are building this sanctuary. We just want to be like Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. We want to talk like him. We want to look like him. Hey, when they see us, they must see Jesus. That's all we are doing here. That's all. Karabo, am I preaching? So don't worry about people, okay? Let's read one more scripture and then we'll close. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 10. Say neighbor. Say it louder, neighbor. You will never cause me to lose my relationship with God. Tell them. You can't change my heart for God. You can't. Hallelujah. My relationship with God is stronger than. Stronger. Yeah. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 10? The Bible says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So many voices. I know some of your Bibles talk about languages. And one version I like, it says, there are so many languages in the world and they all make sense. You know, when you come around people who talk negatively and are hurt, and they always make sense. It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. But it shouldn't make sense because it's telling you from God. But it always seems to make sense. It's reasonable. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, he was wrong. She was wrong. They should have. It always makes sense. But what you realize that it is doing something to your heart, even though it's making sense, but it is corrupting your heart. And your relationship with God is no longer the same. Sometimes we make excuses that this person, but the real thing that is being hurt is your relationship with your God. So many kinds of voices, and they all have their own significance. They make sense. But if you are not careful, they are turning you away from your most important relationship. Your most important. Where I was raised in Christ, I come from a very, very big church. And because our church was so big, every now and then, they would change pastors. So my pastor back then was Bishop Clufio. That time he was a reverend. They changed him and put another bishop, Bishop Jake. That change caused many people to leave church. Just a change of personnel. I remember talking to my friend. I said, sir, they can change 10 times if they want to. I know why I'm here. The changing of people does not affect my relationship with God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Why are you worried about people so much? Worry about your relationship with God. You are too focused on people. Too focused on people. Focus on God. Tell your neighbor, say, focus on God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, I want to encourage somebody here. Do not allow your attitude to change. Don't. It's not worth it. It's not. We are all human beings here. And if we are human beings, it means that we have errors, isn't it? Yeah. Even me, when I was telling you about the story, I thought I made somebody leave church because I know I've got errors. I might have done it. I'm not holier than thou. So we must know that we are in God's house, but we are amongst people like myself. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Please, please, don't allow anything to break that relationship. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Okay, I said one more scripture, but can I give you the last one, please? Romans chapter 8. Let's see what Apostle Paul said. I think it's verse 29. Verse 35. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. If the Bible you have is yours, please mark the scripture. Very important scripture. We will close with it. Are we there? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So Paul now starts, you know, making some list of, shall tribulation separate you from God? Someone say no. Shall tribulation, I want to hear no. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nothing must separate us. Nothing. In verse 38, Paul says, for I am persuaded. I'm persuaded means I'm convinced. I am sure. I am guaranteed that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, 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 nothing. Even your pastor must not separate you from your God. Nothing must separate you from your love of God. Put your hands together well for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. I pray that I have strengthened somebody today. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to understand God's question to Cain. Cain, why has your attitude changed? Am I not a good God? Am I not a loving God? Why has your attitude changed towards me? Hallelujah. I want you to pray for yourself. You know, while I'm preaching here, I believe the Holy Spirit has been talking to somebody. Talk to the Lord about whatever you have been feeling, whatever you have heard Him say to you while I'm preaching. And just pray and ask Him, Lord, and guarantee that, Lord, I will never leave you. I will not allow people to cause me to leave you. My relationship with you from today is established. It is strong. It is strong. One time I told the Lord, I said, Lord, even if somebody can come and fly like Superman and do the most great things in this world, even if they can come and tell us there's aliens, I will never ever change from following you. You have won me. I'm yours. And nothing will ever change that. Hallelujah. Talk to your God. Talk to your God. Talk to Him. Some of us must reestablish our relationship with Him. Talk to Him. Tell Him. Tell Him everything that you are feeling in your heart. Mekate kariande bosia, rabade ke brado koziandes, balge maldo beda brote ke rabashanda, rabande ribazobre kabara kariko dos, rare rebosh yande rebo korianda ragada karianda, mukorande rebashande ribakulande ribasukus. Makata kariande bakarianda bakarianda. Mukurande bakaya katikira bakolada kayakades. Mokodos. Have mercy on us, Lord. Forgive us for a changed attitude towards you. Forgive us by allowing ourselves to be offended. My God, your word tells us that you are good. You can do no evil. Lord, we know that you love us. There's nobody who has ever come and died for the people he loves. But you have shown us love like no other. So we humble ourselves before you. We ask for mercy. We ask for forgiveness. And we ask that today as we stand here, let the fire of God be rebirthed in our heart. Let our walk with you be renewed in the name of Jesus. Let our love, oh God, grow and deepen. Hey, Rabba Sheke Paraba Shokodos. Repanteria Katekeros. Rashanderebo Takaraderes. Rakaperabasianderebosia. Rapapade Katokoranderebosia. Talk to your God, somebody. God is here. He can hear every word out of your mouth. Talk to him, somebody. Lazoni Makodabosia Kadebosia. Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we are yours. We belong to you. We want to be exactly like your son. You knew that nothing can separate you from Jesus. Even when you said to him, my son, I want you to die for them, that request never caused a wedge between the two of you. We want to be like that. No matter what we go through, no matter what we experience, no matter what people say, no matter what people do, it will never separate us from your love. In Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with the prayer, let me hear aloud, amen.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.